Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, I'm going to start about how everyone is really busy. I'm going to start with that. It's amazing how busy life is. Is anybody amazed about how busy life is? Okay. Life becomes, it's seemingly, more and more busy. And the more even things that you achieve, the more things you have to manage, the more things you have to do. And I don't know if you kind of go and see your friends and you say, how are you? And they say, really busy. How are you? Well, really busy. And it's almost like busy defines us. If you want to know how I am, just use the word busy. And it's something that actually in this generation, this time, we are so busy doing stuff. The things that actually are important, you know, building a strong family life, relationships. That's part of what we're called to do, to look after our houses. You know, I'm often thinking about what I haven't done in terms of painting before the winter starts and the things that you actually get consumed with, thinking about, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And usually you start to think what you've got to do after having had a busy day. Has anybody ever come to the end of a really busy day and still thought, my goodness me, there is still so much to do? And busyness seems to kind of so affect our days. We've got housekeeping, we've got jobs to do, we've got food to buy or to cook, we've got cars to tax, MOT, look after, fill with petrol. We've got to find our keys when we want to go somewhere. We've got to find out whether we've got something in the bank to pay for the diesel or petrol we're going to go and buy. We've got, we've got to pray. Hang on, that's another thing to do. I come to church and they tell me more things to do. So I've just got to add all that God is saying to my list. And then after we've had a long list of busyness, we say to ourselves, well, now there's a lot for me to worry about. And we get busy being worried. I'm just talking from my own personal experience this morning. It's amazing how busyness and then worrying about the things we haven't done or the things we should do stress us out. We can be concerned about people, and I think that's probably our primary worry in life. Kids, families, relationships. We can get concerned about where somebody we love is, that they've gone off the rails or things are just not seemingly working as they should. We can get worried and busy with worrying about money, about our job. And that's something that can totally consume us. What's going to happen in my future? You might be facing threats at work, which are sort of speaking right into your heart and saying, there might not be a job next year, or this situation isn't going too well. I'm not being very successful in what I'm doing. And we can get so consumed or worried about what people think about us, whether it's at work, whether it's at home or friends or even the church. And we're busy worrying about what people think. And all these things that kind of come in and they kind of flood into our lives can have such a detrimental effect on us, our souls, on our mind, our emotions. It can have such a negative effect on how then you react to people because you're so stressed that somebody says something not very much to you, but your response comes out. An unusual response can come out and actually show and reveal that because you're so stressed on the inside, what's coming out of you is actually quite negative. And it's having an effect on the people that you live with, the people you work with. And so busy is something I think we should address. I think we should look at busyness this morning in each of our lives and say, hang on. You know, some people say, well, they're just busy doing nothing. But if you ask somebody, the person who's doing nothing, if they're busy, they'll say they're busy. Because everybody does think they're busy. It's a way of thinking. And so you might look at your life and you say, do they know how busy I am? I mean, the pastor, all she's got to do is pray, bring the word, and lead a church. I've got kids. I've got to take the kids here, do this, do that. And, you know, we all have our own busyness. And we can all look at other people and say, well, I'm busier than them. It's not a competition, by the way. We're not in competition to see who's the busiest. But I think, actually, we should look at this issue of being too busy. Because too busy actually steals life. And we have to come back to the real values of Jesus. The things that he places on our lives that he says are more valuable than all the things we have to do. It's not that being with Jesus stops us going shopping at Tesco's or Sainsbury's. It's that actually the busyness can actually stop attacking our souls. And we can do life differently out of peace. And out of being in control, because we are doing life with Jesus, and we're doing life God's way. I can sometimes, at the end of a busy week, like this one, I was up at a conference from Monday to Wednesday, busy all day, Thursday night. At the moment, we're trying to get Pastor Andrew and David into their new home, so every day off, we're painting, decorating. And then I've got extra meetings coming in. There's situations. And so, you know, I can sit on a sofa, which I happened to do on Friday night. I sat on a sofa and went, meh. And have you ever sat on a sofa and gone, God, help. There's so much to do and so little time to do it in. And we need to understand as well, with all this busyness, that actually the devil is wanting to make us really busy. It's the plan of the devil to so busy our lives that actually we get off track with being too busy. When we go to heaven, when God asks us what we did with what he gave us, we won't be able to give the excuse, I was too busy. Because when God calls us, he gives us the grace to do what he wants. And if we're busy doing all the things we think we should do and miss what he wants, we'll actually miss the purpose of God for our lives. And so the devil constantly brings situations or reactions or things to do to our mind. And I've spent a night worrying about a situation. Has anybody ever spent a night worrying about a situation, praying, trying to get a breakthrough? And in the morning, I came to peace. Like, Lord, okay, I accept you're gonna work. And I didn't even have to do anything. God did it. And I realized that actually the prayer of faith stops me trying to do what God does. God is better at sorting out situations than I am. In fact, he's very good at sorting stuff out. And when Jesus came, he said, I've come to give you life. And life came through the person. He didn't say, I'm sending life. He said, I've come to give you life. And so the presence of Jesus in our lives is to help us to live in the fullness of life. Christ in us gives us the ability to live in His power, without spending our lives running around doing whatever we think we've got to do. And Jesus simplified life. He made life very clear and simple. And in this overcomplicated generation that is so hooked up on information and so wanting more knowledge, more information, we can actually get far away from the simplicity of really what life is. And when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house, you remember, Martha was running around doing so much to get stuff ready for Jesus. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. And Jesus wanted to change Martha's life from running around doing all the things she thought she should do and missing out on the one thing that Jesus said would help her. He said to Mary, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen it. Now that gives us a key about busyness. We have a choice to get out of the rat race. We have a choice. There is freedom of choice to take our priorities a different way than running around doing life without Jesus, without his word spoken to us, and without peace in our hearts. And so Jesus said to Martha, he simplified life. He said, Martha, one thing is needed. Now, if he said 10 things are needed, we'd probably get out a pen and paper and write them all down and forget them all. Do you know, I've got lists everywhere. And I make lists because I forget. And Jesus said, I'll only give you one thing, Martha, to sort your issues, and that is, sit at my feet and hear my word. Because if you hear Jesus, first of all, he is the wonderful counselor. He will tell you how to live and what to do in situations that you're facing. He knows everything about your life, everything about your relationships. And he says, if you'll come and listen to me and hear my word, then your life will work. And that is just one thing. He doesn't stress Martha out with an overcomplicated system of a successful life. And so coming to Jesus and hearing his word is the recipe for a life that works and a life that is productive and fruitful. Look with me to Luke chapter 12. Busyness can be an enemy of the purpose of God for your life, and it can be the enemy of your soul, your relationships, your well-being. In today's world, people make excuses saying they're too busy. But actually, Jesus said it's if you get priorities. I actually feel, can I just say this before we read the scripture, that we should actually quite regularly look at our lives with a blank piece of paper, with nothing on it, and say, okay, God, let's go through what my life should look like, rather than add something else onto a full page and try and squeeze it in somewhere. I think we should take a step back and say, okay, clean slate. We can always do that with Jesus. We can always have new beginnings with Jesus. Can always start to live differently. Jesus is the master at a new beginning. How do you need a new beginning? God wants to do new things. Well, start with a clean slate. Say, okay, God, fill in the page and help me to make sure that I've got your ways as top priority. Because then I know what you say are the priorities will enable me to have a fantastically fruitful life, a fantastic relational life. My marriage will work. My kids will know about you and follow you. They'll be different in this generation. My working life, I can live in peace even though they're saying you're going to lose your job. I know that you're saying everything's going to be okay. And so if we live with occasionally looking at our lives and saying, actually, let's start with a clean page, then I believe that we can start to reprioritize what is important and put into the background what isn't. The devil loves to bring the background things and march them and put them in front of us. Has anybody had the devil do that? It's like, at one point it wasn't really important, but now it's come really up close and right in front, and now it's become one of the most important things for me to do. That can happen with a TV program. They can be so addictive. You can start watching a soap or a program, and, you know, you used to kind of say, well, I'll do whatever God says first. But because you started to watch that, and watching programs isn't a bad thing, but it's when it marches up and says, this is what you've got to do now. It's when the TV program tells you what you've got to do, then actually you've lost the plot. I can't come because I'm watching a soap. And so busyness can become a smokescreen where we can't see the way forward. And Jesus wants us to see the way clearly and be clear-minded as God's people in the way that we live our lives, rather than fuzzy, confused, and full-on busy. I don't know if this is helping you. I trust it's speaking into your heart, into your life. So in Luke 12, Jesus said to his disciples, to those who wanted to follow him, he said, verse 22, therefore he said, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they don't sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more value are you than the birds? Now there's a promotion for you. You're more valuable than the birds. In fact, you're more valuable than anything in the whole earth to God. He places a high value on you. Who of you, verse 25, by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat and drink, and don't worry about it. For the pagan world, that's the people that don't know God, they run after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. So God isn't calling us to a life without stuff. It's very important. God is not a poor God. He is not a poverty God. So he doesn't say, yeah, follow me and I'll make you miserable, poor, hungry, and you'll look awful. No, he says, I know you need these things. But the momentum or the direction or the move of your life mustn't be running after things. Because the world runs after things. Clothes, food, image, the latest stuff that makes me look good. And Jesus says, life is so much more than things. And if we reduce life to things, then actually the devil will rob us from the things that really are the life. If we become consumed with things, then Jesus gets out of the picture, and so does family life, relationships, and we get motivated by all the wrong kinds of things. So Jesus says, do not worry about them. In verse 31, he says, seek his kingdom and these things will be given as well. So God is not saying to us, in our busyness, stop being busy and just get poor. He's saying, seek me first. Put my rule, put my will and purpose, number one priority, on the blank sheet of paper. Top of the list. Jesus is simplifying life for the disciples so their life will work differently than the rest of the world. Sometimes I think, Lord, you know, I was driving in today and coming over the viaduct, the bridge, and, you know, coming to worship God with you, coming to seek the God's will for my life and for us as a church, coming to see God's kingdom come and affect lives here this morning. And the other way, there were loads more cars going off to B&Q, Wix, going out, doing other stuff. The flow was much more. And God said, that's the flow leading to destruction. And we're here to turn this generation to the God direction. But if we're going the same direction as them, we can't turn them around. Because we're here seeking first the rule of God. And I, you know, over the years, I've had quite a bit of experience speaking to people about how life has gone wrong. Why am I in such a mess? And, you know, the obvious thing to do is saying, okay, well, life God's way works. No, I'm telling you. Are there any believers here? Life God's way works. If we do life God's way. So Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needed. Spend time with Jesus and listen to him. Then he says, don't worry about all the stuff, the busyness that drives you to the shops and then you forgot something and you have to go back for milk. And you've got to go and do this, you've got to go and do that, I've got to do this. Seek first my kingdom. And so I'll ask them, what are your priorities? And they say, well, of course I love Jesus. Of course I did. Well, okay, but what does that actually mean? Does it mean you are every day sitting with Jesus and listening to his word? Because if you're not, the busyness will take over and you will lose a quality of life that Jesus died to give you. Then I'll say, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? Well, it means that actually God's will is my goal, not my will. God's rule, or seeing the advance of the kingdom, is my goal. When Jesus died, rose again, talked to his disciples, he didn't say to them, now what I want for you is to be so totally blessed that you all sit and live in a capsule of blessing. He didn't say that. He said, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. But he said, I want you to go from a place of receiving from me. I want you to go not worrying about provision and how your life will work out. I will work your life out if you will seek first my plan and purpose to see the kingdom of God come to the people you work with, to the area around which you live. The momentum or the flow of our life has to go beyond ourselves so that we see the rule of God, the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the lives of the people around us. And so it doesn't make sense. It's unreasonable because we think we've got to work out our own lives. We think we've got to make sure that everything works so we get crazy doing too much stuff. And we miss the things that God is saying for us to actually do. And if you and I will be devoted to Jesus and to seeking his kingdom first, then we will see God do the miracles of provision. You know, he was talking about, you know, seeking first the kingdom. He said, don't be afraid, little flock, verse 32, for your father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. You've got nothing to fear. You've got the kingdom of heaven. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. So in other words, be radical with your giving. Because your supply doesn't come from what you earn. Help us to believe this. We're to be believers. Our supply does not come from what we earn. The Father in heaven is our provider. And he loves us more than the birds. And the birds don't have to build storehouses. And they're still taken care of. And God is saying, it is my responsibility to care for you. Now you go and take your responsibility to reach the world with the kingdom. Do my will, and I will make sure you're provided for. Just a side issue. You know, this generosity, this spirit of generosity, is the nature of God. It's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. And many of you know Corrie, she's a missionary in Mongolia. We've worked with her for many years now, giving to that ministry. And she was here in the summer. And actually, we went out for a meal with her and sitting, having a nice Indian. I love Indian food. Sitting, having a nice chat with her. And she's amazing what God has done through her life. Her generosity, her spirit to actually seek first the kingdom. And she has actually just gone all out for the gospel to reach young people, these children who are orphaned in Mongolia with the gospel of Jesus. And I'm sitting there. And listening to her. And actually, when the night that she was having this meal with us, she was really discouraged. And she was saying the people at home, you know, they're just so consumed with all their stuff. They're not really seeing what I'm doing. And she said, I'm not complaining about them, but I just feel I've got to do it all. And she lives off her salary. She's a retired teacher, so she actually her own income finances her to live in Mongolia. And other people could give to actually look after the kids. And as she's talking, I just said, well, having been out there this year, went in April, I saw that she needs transport. And I said, well, why don't you get a car? And she went, you know, everything was just, she was just so discouraged. I said, why don't you get a car? She said, well, I suppose I could. I started to hatch a plan. We could get a car. Let's seek first the kingdom as a church and get a car. So I thought, right. I was just sitting there and I thought, let's buy her a car. What a brilliant idea. It's brilliant to be kingdom minded. To facilitate people that are running with a vision. To reach people. So I'm sitting there going, let's get a car. I won't say anything. Talk it over with Pastor Andrea. As I'm talking to Corrie, I said, what are you doing for Christmas? Trying to, you know, lighten up and make her happy. Talk about Christmas. Well, I can't come home because I can only afford to come home once a year. And I said, well, why don't we meet in Beijing for Christmas? And Sandra, who loves traveling, said, now don't mess with me. Are you serious? Because she would want to go. And I'm like, well, yeah, I can't think of a missionary spending Christmas on their own. You know, and there's this, we must get out there with the kingdom business. We must live for something other than saying how rich we're getting. You know, how do we spend our time? Well, I don't know, there's no Christmas, Santa Claus isn't in Beijing. They don't even celebrate Christmas out there. So we're going to take our own little tree and sit with a few bells and, you know. But it's this whole, how can we move the kingdom forward in blessing people, moving the kingdom forward? Seek first the kingdom. So I see this pastor the next day and he said, how is Corrie? Because he knows about her and so I said, well, we're going to buy her a car. Are you? I said, yeah, but we need more money. Do you? Yeah. How much do you need? A lot. He said, that's really funny. We've got $6,000 we didn't know we had to give away. And so together we've bought a 4x4. And let me tell you, the challenge has been, well, what about the state of the finances in the church? Do we have enough money to give? No, we don't. But if we don't give, we won't see the Father supply. If we're not in that generous kingdom lifestyle, you see, the thing about being worried about money is it shuts you down. And God is saying, I don't want my people shut down with their own thing. I want them consumed with my kingdom. Focused on seeking first the rule of God, the love of God, God, the gospel reaching the world. It's going to take provision, guys. Where we are going, it's going to take money. But we must be channels and not reservoirs of money. We must be those who are saying, how can we facilitate what God wants to do in the nations? From this place, how can we? You know, we've bought land in Mongolia. We haven't got a building here, but we're building something in Mongolia. Somebody else is going to live in that building. People say, why haven't we got a building? Well, we're going to get one, but we're seeking first the kingdom. And all these things will be added. They'll be added, guys. Not by storing, but by giving. And worry at any point makes you close in. Which is why Jesus says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. Father, I'm seeking your kingdom first. I'm doing your business here on earth. I'm putting your priorities at the top of my list. And because I'm making your stuff the top of my list, you make my stuff the top of your list. It releases heaven's supply. Thank you, Jesus. I just love the way the kingdom operates. And it's so simple. Give, and it will be given. Not run around and get 5 jobs. Praise God for the kingdom life. So, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Put Jesus first. Now look with me, we're going to finish at Joshua, I think. How are we doing? I'm jamming it up here. We'll just keep going and we'll finish somewhere. Now in the beginning of Joshua, God said to Joshua and to his nation, his people, you're going to go in, cross the Jordan, take possession of the promised land. And he actually gave them this promise, my presence will go with you. And I'll give you rest. He didn't just give them his promises. He said, I'm actually going to go in with you. In fact, I'm going to go before you. And so in Joshua chapter 3, you see, the way we live in the busyness of life, the things that we're to be consumed with, are actually where God is taking us, where God is leading us. The kingdom business. And Joshua was to lead the people in to take possession of the promised land. To actually take territory. To see people saved. To see the kingdom of heaven transform everything. And there were obstacles to the way. And the life of faith is never totally going to run as smooth as we'd like it. There are going to be things that we're going to need to overcome to come and take possession of the land. But Jesus said this amazing declaration. He said, I am the way. I am the way. Stop being consumed with everything, getting distracted by things. How are you going to work this out? How do we know what the way forward? Jesus said, I am the way. And so we see this kind of in a different story. How God is the way into the promises. The way into taking possession of the land. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 2, it says, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know the way to go, since you've never been this way before. I love following Jesus, because every day is an adventure. That life with him can't be assumed that tomorrow is going to be the same as today, because we don't know the way. But we can see him and follow him. And so the Israelites were told to actually look at the ark. Now the ark was symbolic of the presence of God amongst his people. And we know that actually we as individuals are carriers of the presence of God. In a sense, we're individually the ark of God. And together we are the ark of God. And God says, I want you to go in and take the land. Just as Jesus said to his disciples, go, make disciples of all peoples. But he said, there is an obstacle in the way, which is the Jordan. Now there are always obstacles in the way of God's people taking possession of what Jesus has promised. There are always stuff that you could see it's impossible to do this. I could have sat with Corrie and said, well, we don't have that finances that will transform a missionary's life in Mongolia. But I said, we've got something we can give, and I'm definitely going to believe God that somebody else is going to give. And together we've made more than enough. God has made a way. God has made a way. It was impossible, but there is a way. And so Joshua told the priests to take the ark and actually put their feet in the Jordan. Verse 8 of chapter 3, tell the priests who carry the ark of the covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go in and stand in the river. Now, I think about this. You know, there's hundreds, thousands, millions of Jews there, waiting to go across the Jordan. There's Joshua being told he's got to go over and possess the land and lead the people. And then there's the priest carrying the ark saying, yeah, but we've got to stand in the water. I think we've got a difficult job. Because the waters were in full flood. It was impossible to cross into the promised land. And so these guys, because they'd spent 40 years going round in circles, they decided that a life of going round in circles wasn't good enough. I hope you've decided the same. That a life of going round the mountain is not interesting. But a life of following Jesus is where you are going. Amen. And so they decided, actually, whatever God says, we've got to just do it, even if it doesn't make sense. Because we've got to get in and take possession of the land. Now they could have worried about all their stuff. They could have said, we're too busy. I've got a hole in my tent. Something's going wrong with my sheep. I don't want to go over. I'm just used to this life. But they weren't busy with their own thing. God was leading them into his thing. And so they had to lose sight of themselves. That's the first part. You have to get your eyes off you and your circumstances. If you're going to walk into the miraculous, into Jesus making a way for you to come into every blessing, every promise coming to pass, if we're going to come in and win people to Christ, we must take the focus off us. Because if we seek first the kingdom, God will look after us. He will provide for us. He will make sure we have what we need to continue in the mission of reaching people. And so Joshua said, go in, keep your eyes on the ark. And so the eyes have got to come off us. And the eyes have got to go on to Jesus. I know it's too simple for words. But it is the way, the breakthrough way. It's the way through the impossible circumstance into the miraculous. And God is saying, you're not going to be able to stop the Jordan. But as you take a step into what I am calling you to do, to seek first the kingdom, to move forward with me, I am going to make a way where it's impossible. You see, Jesus is the way for your miracle. He is the way for your family. Jesus is the way for your healing. The woman pressed through the crowds. She was not going to be distracted. And she touched Jesus because he is the way to receive healing. Jesus is the way to a life that is prosperous. Jesus is the focus of the church that he bought with his blood. Jesus is the way. And what they had to do by looking at the ark, it was simple and yet so profound. They had to take the eyes off themselves, but they had to take their eyes off the problem. They had to take their eyes off what was distracting them. Because problems can become a huge distraction in the life of those who want to go in and possess the promised land. And so God says, don't look at the Jordan. Don't look at the impossibilities. Look to me and I'm going to make a way where it seems impossible. And I believe that is a word for people here today. That Jesus is saying, I don't know, stop worrying about your life. Seek first the kingdom. Life is going to work when you put my priorities in place. Get a blank sheet of paper and say, okay, how does God want me to live my life? What are his priorities? And then say, okay, God has got great things ahead of me in my future. God has planned greatness for every person in this room. God has planned greatness for every person here. But Jesus is saying, stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your jobs, at that impossible relationship situation. Take your eyes off the problem and look to me. Because Jesus said, as you step forward in faith, looking to me, I am going to make a way across the Jordan. You're going to pass through supernaturally to take the land. But you must get your attention off the problem. You see, when we look at the Jordan, fear comes into our heart. When we look at the problem, we get scared. When we look at what we can't do, we sit down and say, well, I'll never get in to what God has said. But we're not people who are sitting down looking at problems. We're a people whose sole focus is to be adjusted to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we will move forward to take the promised land. We will see God's purpose come to pass. We will see every word, every promise God has spoken over your life, every dream he's had over you, it will happen. Every dream he's had over your family, it's going to come to pass. How? Looking unto Jesus. Looking to Jesus. He is the way. Your mind goes, how? I don't know. Don't know how he stopped those waters. That's up to him. I don't have to work out how. I just have to take the step I believe you're the way and I'm going to move forward with you. And I believe today's a moving forward day. I believe today's a day to say, actually, I'm tired of the busyness of life. I'm tired of trying to worry about everything, get everything juggled and in place. It's not working my way. I'm going to go His way. I'm going to get back to true focus. Looking to Jesus. He's the answer for your marriage. He is the answer for your kids. He's the answer for your job. He's the answer for reaching the lost. Looking to Jesus, the author. He'll put new faith in you. See, I can imagine when they started to look. They saw the Ark of the Covenant move forward. They were looking at God, essentially. And the priests were walking. And this is us. We're priests. Every one of us in this room now are carriers of the God of heaven. And therefore, with God, nothing's impossible. God will do it if we will take the steps. And I can see all the people are looking and they're going, right, I refuse to look at what could go wrong right now. You know, most of our time we can think about what could go wrong. But they said, right, we're just going to set our gaze and fix our thoughts on the God of heaven. He is able. I'm just going to look and meditate on the ability of God to get us through this path and into the victory. So we're going to go through. I am determined to take the steps. And so there was no kind of B theory. There was only one theory, not A, B, C, D, just the one. Jesus is the way. And for the people who take the steps with Him, follow Him, we come into every blessing He's planned for our lives. Amen. So God's given you territories to take. He's given you a command not to worry about your life. It's not a suggestion. It says, He doesn't say, would you mind not worrying? He says, do not worry. Stop it. So say, tell yourself, I'm going to stop worrying. And I'm going to seek first the rule of heaven. I'm going to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And He's going to take me places I couldn't go on my own. I tell you, there's a great future plan for a people who are looking to Jesus and moving with Him. Praise God. Shall we stand together?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.